Our Lord taught us, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. You can be seated. We're getting to this part of the prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's where I always stumble because I've learned it so many different ways. So I did a little research on forgive us our debts. The Presbyterian and other Reformed churches tend to use debts and debtors. Roman Catholics, Anglicans, and Methodists are more likely to say trespasses, those who trespass against us. The debts form appears in the first English translation of the Bible by John Wycliffe in 1395, and the trespasses version appears in 1526, translated by William Tyndale. Those of you that don't like history, you can just zone out for 10 more seconds. All right. But in 1549, the first Book of Common Prayer in English used the version of trespasses. And this became the official version of Anglican congregations. The reason I use debts is because of the Bible translations that I've tended to use in my life have been King James, New American Standard, and New King James. But in Matthew 6, in all of my Bibles, it uses debts and debtors. And because I just like to stay with the scriptures that I'm reading, so that's why we use. And again, guys, I don't think there's a right or wrong to this, so it's just kind of potato, potato a little bit. Who says potato? Never mind. But we're talking about forgiveness today. A friend of mine, Brian Zond in St. Joseph, wrote a very good book on forgiveness called Unconditional. And in his book, he said, if Christianity is about anything, it's about forgiveness. The first words of Jesus from the cross were these, Father, forgive them. So let me just ask you a question. How many of you have ever had trouble with forgiveness? Oh, that's going to hit all of us, I believe, today. And we're going to use the Lord's Prayer to help us with this. Understand that forgiving is probably the most difficult thing that Jesus asked us to do. But it's the most Christian thing that we're ever going to do, because that's how you become a Christian, is because you received forgiveness of your sins, that God forgave you when you weren't looking to be forgiven and forgave you unconditionally. Aren't you glad? But I believe that if the Bible asks us to do something, then there is a grace associated with that thing that he's asking us to do, and whatever he asks or commands us to do is ultimately always for our own benefit. I need a better amen. It's for our benefit. Forgiveness is ultimately for our benefit as well as the person that we're forgiving. Jesus taught us to make repentance and forgiveness a major part of our prayer life. And forgiving others, let me say this, forgiving others is mostly a matter of prayer. He taught us to pray, forgive us as we forgive, as a matter for our prayer life. In prayer, I can repeatedly pray about the same thing over and over and over and over again until I am released from the emotional tension and turmoil. Long after your best friend is tired of hearing that same thing again, God has patience, unlimited patience. God has mercy, unlimited mercy. God has wisdom, unlimited wisdom. Have you ever worn some? Have you ever noticed when you've worn somebody out with your complaint? That's why Jesus taught us to pray. That's why Jesus taught us to pray. Let me say it this way, and this is where I think people get confused. And I've talked to a lot of good pastor friends of mine. But many people believe that forgiveness must be withheld until one receives a heartfelt apology. Like, I cannot forgive because they've never apologized. Well, that's not the way God did it. I said, that's not the way that God did it. Let me say it this way. We can forgive. We can apologize genuinely as an act of our own will, without any reciprocation from the other party. I can forgive you whether you apologize or not. I can apologize whether you receive it or not. I can forgive as an act of my will when my emotions don't agree with me. As a matter of fact, that's how all forgiveness begins. It begins before we feel like it. It begins as an action of our will, because Jesus said, forgive us as we forgive. God forgave, which gives us all the opportunity to repent. Did you realize that God's act of forgiveness is the first step towards our repentance? We're assured of His forgiveness before we ask for it, because He's already done so. He's already forgiven us. He already sent Jesus to the cross. Jesus has already died. He's already been buried. He's already risen again. Therefore, we are forgiven. The act of forgiveness gives us the opportunity to repent. I want you to think about it. Turn with me to Acts chapter 7. Let's see this in action of real life people. I'm serious when I say that most forgiveness is a matter of prayer, because most apologies and most forgiveness actions that I've noticed are pretty well botched and pretty well make things even worse than they were before the so-called apology or so-called act of forgiveness. And I'll explain that a little bit further. That's why I think Jesus taught us to deal with this mostly as a matter for prayer, because mostly we're too emotional when we go to apologize or forget. I'll give you one example. Several years ago, Michelle and I still lived over on 11th Street. I had somebody make an appointment to come see me and wanted to apologize to me because he had resented me for a number of years. Just for me being me, living my life, fulfilling the ministry God called us to, but resented the fact that basically he wasn't in full-time ministry, that he had made a mistake when he was a young man, didn't follow the plan of God for his life, and here I was in my 20s, you know, following the Lord, living for God, and he thought he needed to come apologize for me because he resented me. How did that help me? Did he need to come apologize to me? No. He needed to deal with that in the prayer closet. He dumped his garbage on my life and relieved his own conscience. Are you listening to me? That's not what Jesus said to do. I was completely unaware that he had a problem with me. Are you following me? But he felt guilty about resenting me, So you decided to make me feel bad about it. Which I really didn't. I'm pretty secure. But you notice I've never forgotten it either. And at the end of that whole discourse, I wondered, why did you feel a need to come tell me how much you resented me? Have I done something to you? No. Have I talked bad about you? Never. Have I violated you in any way? No. If you don't like me, there's probably not much I can do about that, but that's not an actual violation. Are you following me? We've had people apologize to us in this manner. Hey, I just don't want there to be anything between us, okay? Okay. That's neither an apology or an act of forgiveness. Are you following me? So I'm saying a lot of apologies are botched. If you feel a need to write a text message or send an instant message or a wall post on your social media to apologize, stop before you type one letter. That's not an appropriate apology or act of forgiveness. Don't apologize by a text or by an email or by a wall post or anything. If you feel a need to have a conversation where you do need to engage that other person in an apology or an act of forgiveness, you need to be able to let them speak. How many of you ever got something wrong that you received in a text or an email? Or how many of you had somebody receive something wrong in a text or an email and they read a whole bunch of things into that text or email that you didn't really, that wasn't what you said, but that's what they read into it? Can I give you just some point? You probably didn't spend enough time in the prayer closet before you decided to send that text. Acts chapter 7, let's see the Bible here. Verse 51, Stephen is preaching this very strong message to this bunch of Jewish people, and he said some harsh things to them. Verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, and so do you. You think I preach harshly sometimes. Look at this. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute, and they killed, and you know, and so forth? Well, you know what happens? Verse 54, when they heard the things that Stephen was saying, they were cut to their heart, they gnashed their teeth, and they looked at Stephen, and this guy's got the gaze of the Holy Spirit upon him, and they stone him to death for what he said to them, for the preaching, daring to preach that Jesus is the Messiah and that they had in fact killed him. But I want you to notice as this is happening. Verse 59, they stoned Stephen and was calling on God saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Verse 60, he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And with this, he fell asleep. In other words, he said almost exactly what Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them. Don't hold this against them. Making a real strong point here. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church. So we know that Saul was there. We know that those that had stoned him, verse 58, had laid their outer garments. They took their jackets off so that they could throw better. They took their outer garments off and they laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. So Saul is in full compliance with this. As a matter of fact, Saul later receives papers from the Jewish ruling council to persecute people that are preaching in the name of Jesus. And so, as a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 9, when Paul's on his way to Damascus, he's going to arrest people. He's going to persecute people. Those that are preaching in the name of Jesus. And Saul is watching all of this unfold. And while Stephen is being stoned to death, Stephen forgives those that are stoning him. That's an actual violation. Stephen is forgiving people that are doing him actual harm. They didn't just not like Stephen. They weren't just offended at his words. They actually took up rocks and killed him. Okay? And Stephen forgave those who were killing him. Stephen's acting like Jesus. Do you think any of those guys were apologizing? No, nobody's apologizing, but Stephen is forgiving them. I've got a major point here. There's a young man named Saul observing this whole thing, and he's one of the people that Stephen has forgiven. Go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, we have this verse 1. Saul breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord. You know, he asked for letters. He's going to bring people bound to Jerusalem. Verse 3, he journeys, comes to Damascus, near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads." And he trembled and was astonished and said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord gave him very specific instructions, and this is part of Saul's conversion testimony. I would submit to you that Stephen's act of forgiveness of those who were killing him leads to Paul's repentance of his sins and his conversion to Christ. It's very powerful. In fact, Jesus said in John 20, English Standard Version was the version I was looking for earlier, and I read John 20, verse 23 from that version. Jesus said, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you will withhold the forgiveness from any, it's withheld." In other words, we have a lot of power when we forgive somebody. We know of stories. I know of a story of somebody in a drug-induced, paranoid rave, went with a claw hammer and ended up killing a man who was this devout Christian, Sunday school teacher, and so forth. And, you know, sometime, months, probably years went by, but the wife of that Sunday school teacher brought her husband's Bible to the man that had killed her husband and met with him in prison and just said, "Look, I'm a Christian, and the Bible and the teachings of Jesus say that we should forgive people." And I'm telling you, I think she was just doing it as an act of obedience. She wasn't feeling it. She wasn't emotional. She was just doing it as an action of her will. And she says, "I just want you to know, this is my husband's Bible. He was a Sunday school. Let me tell you about him. He's a good man. He provided for his family. A lot of people followed the Lord because of my husband. And in his Bible, it says that I'm supposed to forgive you, so I do. I forgive you." Long story short, that murderer ended up giving his life to the Lord. That action of forgiveness opened up the opportunity for him to repent, and get right, get saved. The story goes on later that as he, after he was paroled and released from prison, that they went around and traveled the country preaching together and giving this testimony. There's a great power in the action of forgiveness. But you know, before something can be forgiven, it has to be named as a violation. To say to somebody, "I just don't want there to be anything between us," is not naming a violation. It's pretty hard to forgive some unnamed feeling of we don't like each other. But if you have actually been violated, someone has said something horrible to you or about you, or someone has frauded you or cheated you in some way, someone has stolen something from you, then that's an actual violation that can be named. And I can take that to the Lord and say, "Lord, forgive me. and forgive what happened and the person that did this to me. I can name that thing. I can name, you know, that. And Lord, then help me deal with the emotions of this. Lord, I'm here forgiving because you forgave me, which I don't understand. And I didn't deserve. And I don't understand how to do this. I'm not God and I'm not you. But I need a grace from you to help me do this. But I choose today to forgive this person. And I need you to help me with the emotions of this. Now, if this other person actually knows what they did, are you listening to me? Like it's well known. Then maybe you go talk to them and say, look, I forgive you. That's it. But here's what happens oftentimes in that action of forgiveness. We add a lot of things to it, don't we? I said we add a lot of things to it, don't we? It really hurt me when you, and you name these 14 things that the other person did. And you know what? I wouldn't have done what I did if you hadn't done what you did. But I just want you to know I forgive you. Actually, I think what you did, can we be honest? Actually, what you did was you wanted to make them hurt one more time, so you told them all the mean and ugly things that they did so you could make them feel bad in your action of forgiveness. That's not really forgiving. Forgiveness would be, I forgive you. That's it. I forgive you, and if they say, you know, go to some place you don't want to go, you walk away. And you're done, probably. But then you're going to have to deal with it in the prayer closet again, because now you're going to have to forgive them again because they told you to go someplace you didn't want to go. Can we just be real honest? This is not easy stuff. But this is in essence being a Christ follower, because God forgave us. We forgive. We ask for forgiveness. How many of you like to be forgiven? Didn't Jesus say, forgive us as we forgive? Now, some of us would be in a lot of trouble there if we're forgiven as we forgive. How many of you really don't want to be forgiven as you forgive? You're following me, aren't you? See, I want to be forgiven. And Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us as we forgive. Therefore, we can do it. Everybody say, I can do it. We get confused. We get confused by the emotions of forgiveness or the lack thereof. I want you to know you can forgive as an action of your will, and the feelings eventually will have to line up with that action of faith that you took. And if the emotions aren't there yet, then just go right back to that prayer closet and say, Lord, I forgive. Lord, I forgive. Help me. Help me. When I've been violated, I usually need to repent. Because usually my action to being violated, my response to being violated, is normally sinful. And I need God to forgive me for my response. And I can't allow the violation to make me into the image of the violator. But I can use my suffering to improve myself and make the world a better place. Guys, I'm going to have to skip about half of my sermon today because I think you're getting this. But if you've been violated, understand this, Jesus was violated. If you've been violated, then God understands and He suffers with the victim. He comforts you and He gives you a new identity. Christ identifies with abandonment. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus said from the cross. But in the way that God does not shun the godless and God does not shun violators, but gives Himself for them. I mean, the Roman soldier, come on. The Roman soldier that is there to enact the crucifixion is also crying out for salvation. So my practical tips as we close today. When you're forgiving or apologizing, don't heap condemnation and guilt on the other person in your forgiveness speech. Doing so is a sneaky way to appease your own conscience while at the same time condemning the other person. Don't dump on the other person just to make yourself feel better. Don't apologize vaguely. If you need to apologize, say, "I apologize for," and name what you did. Without excuse, don't say, I wouldn't have done it if you hadn't have done what you did. Just say, "I apologize." Don't demand or expect forgiveness to be extended by the wounded party. I can apologize and forgive without reciprocation. Demanding so reveals my own wickedness and my own frailty. And Della reminded me yesterday what Jesus said. Jesus said this, Matthew 5, verse 44. "Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Somebody said, but that's not fair. They should get blah, blah, blah. Let me just say, that's not your department. If God needs to deal with somebody, your prayers are probably not going to prevent that from happening. I said, if God needs to deal with somebody, your prayers are probably not going to prevent the will of God from dealing with their sinfulness. Right? But it sure keeps your heart pure and clean. So if you don't have anything else to say, when someone has violated you, you can just say, "Bless them." What does that mean? I don't know, but Jesus said, "Bless them." And that's, I'm not going any further than that sometimes. Lord, bless them. Pray for them. Lord, help them. Is a really good prayer. If you're having lots and lots of problems, the superintendent of the North Missouri Assemblies of God said that if someone has really violated him in a really bad way, and after he has forgiven them, sometimes the Lord will impress upon him to send them a gift to do something nice for those that have persecuted you. So I said, I should always beware of any gifts that I receive from you. He said, you never know. But he's a dear friend of mine and has taught me a lot about forgiveness. When forgiving or apologizing, ask, will this help the other person, or is this just about me feeling better? And if it's just about you feeling better, then you probably ought to leave it in the prayer closet. Amen. Most forgiveness truly should be handled in the prayer closet. Unless you have absolutely violated another person, then you need to apologize. Or if somebody has absolutely, indisputably violated you, then you could go to them and forgive them. But most of this other stuff that we deal with probably ought to just be a matter of prayer. Because Jesus taught us to pray, "Forgive us our debts, so we forgive our debtors." Wasn't that a matter of prayer? So we're going to come to the Lord's table to conclude our service today. And if there's something in you that you need to get right between God, then I would say, "Father, forgive me." And if you still have unforgiveness towards somebody else, say, "Lord, forgive them." But more than likely, it's the feeling of unforgiveness that you're dealing with. And say, "Lord, help these feelings go away." He understands. Because if the feelings would go away, then you wouldn't keep bringing it back up over and over again. And you need to be healed of that. Some of you really need to be healed today. Look, pastoring a church does not exempt us from apology and forgiveness. As a matter of fact, it probably magnifies the need to do so, because all we do is deal with people constantly. And so this is something that until Jesus comes again or I depart from this earth, I'm going to be working out my own salvation with fear and trembling right along with you. So Lord, help us today. So Lord, we come to your table to be forgiven, to be healed, and to extend forgiveness to others. Create in us a clean heart, God. Renew a right spirit within us. Forgive us. Cleanse us. Restore us. Heal us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.